B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we're back. That was a long segment there. Thanks for hanging in with us. Mike Rupp from the NHL Network. Thanks to him for stopping by. We downloaded some Patriots thoughts from you today at minicamp, so you can weigh in on that. But big news today is that Zdeno Chara is looking like he's gearing towards returning to the ice just two nights, or is it three nights technically here, after breaking his jaw in Game 4 in St. Louis. So he was out on the ice this morning for a morning skate. He was wearing a contraption around his face with no face shield, but the plastic slash plexi, whatever that is, going around his chin. And so he has his chin protected. He has his eyes and nose still open, and he skated this morning. He was unable to speak, according to NHL PR. He was unable to speak, so he did allow a pool reporter to ask him questions, which he responded to by writing down his responses.
That is awesome.
And he wrote, at this time of the playoffs, everyone has injuries, and there are challenges that you have to overcome to play. I'm no different than any player on either team. And then I think he was asked, do you worry about suffering further injury? He said, you don't think about it. You think about playing. You don't go into a game thinking you might get hurt. So the 42-year-old captain, who is nearing the end of his career, has probably one last legit chance at the Stanley Cup. They're two wins away from it. He breaks his jaw in Game 4. He is playing Game 5. According to reports, the fellow from the Lowell Sun, Sean Hutchin of the Lowell Sun, says sources close to the situation telling me Chara's jaw is not wired shut, suffered no missing teeth, but has brace along bottom gum line. He has been cleared to play. And so that is shaping up and gearing up to be quite the moment tonight at the Boston Garden as the Bruins go for a 3-2 lead in the Stanley Cup Final.
And they actually do go through and announce the starting lineups right when they're
out. Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Oh, people will lose their minds.
That's going to be great.
Okay, so your thoughts on this and whatever you want. Let's go with Luke in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, guys. I love Chara, and I'm all for having him out there just for his experience alone, knowing what to do. But when I hear people comparing this to the bloody sock, I have to jump in and say, all right, enough, okay? Because whether you realize it or not, and I know Chara does, this was a self-inflicted injury on his part. If you look at what happened before that shot, he gives away the puck from the faceoff circle, just pushes it out to the blue line where I think three guys are waiting there to snatch it up. It was a terrible play, and he knows that. And he did everything he could to get in front of that shot, and then, he broke his jaw. And I'm great for being back out there, but let's not forget this was a self-inflicted injury.
Okay. Oh, self-inflicted is way too strong.
I'm all for hot takes and contrarian takes, so I'm not going to jump down the guy's throat. I do not agree with that. Go ahead.
It's not self-inflicted.
It was a freak accident.
Yeah, look, how many times he turned the puck over? So anytime he should suffer a broken jaw in every one of them, self-inflicted? It was a little bit of a fluky play. I mean, pucks get deflected all the time with defensemen poking their sticks out there.
If you want to play this game, if Curt Schilling wasn't carrying around so much weight, do you think he might have hurt his ankle?
Good question. I don't know.
The fellow was a little top-heavy there at the end. But look, I've never taken that away from Schilling. I'm not taking anything away from Chara. But it's shaping up to be one of those kind of moments. One of those kind of moments, a bloody sock moment. It is.
And it's just proof. You would really only ever get this in this sport. Someone alerted me. I forgot. 5 years ago yesterday was the LeBron air conditioning game, where he tapped out of game one against San Antonio in the finals because he was cramping up because the air conditioning went out. Like, that's that sport. And that's what happens with the biggest player in that sport, LeBron James, tapping out because of cramps, because of no AC. Zdeno Chara breaks his jaw, puts on a Darth Vader helmet, and he's back in a couple of nights.
I mean, he's got to be functional, though, Chara does, right? I mean, he can't.
Okay, so
this is a big part of the story.
He's got to play and play well, and they have to win.
Right.
For it to be one of these iconic moments, they have to win. They have to win.
Yeah.
Okay, so could there be just the emotional lift and that sort of thing, the inspiration of him being out there, and that propels him to victory? That storyline will endure. That endured for Willis Reed. I see you have him up here, the Willis Reed moment. People don't realize. I had forgotten. He only scored 4 points in that ball game. Only played a couple minutes, and they yanked him right off the floor.
Yeah.
But it was that moment that inspired everyone, and that's how it's played. That's his legacy. So if they win, this is part of Chara's legacy. It's a bloody sock moment, especially if he plays well. If they lose, it doesn't register.
No, it just really it disappears. I mean, unless he plays really badly and they lose, and then you say he shouldn't have been out there.
Well, right. If he's a liability, then you question the coach and whether he should have even been out there in the first place.
Then it becomes a Bill Buckner moment.
Yeah. Correct.
What are you doing playing that guy for? So that's on the table, too. Arthur on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Arthur.
Yes, Sidney Crosby in the 13 finals took a direct slap shot to his jaw.
Well, he didn't make the finals because you swept him in the conference finals. So maybe you have your years mixed up. But we do have some precedent for players playing. It was Derek Stefan that we looked the other day who played 5 days later after breaking his jaw.
Correct.
So this is 3 days. I know, and if Crosby did it, we've heard Pat LaFontaine. We've heard other examples. Did anyone break it in game four and come back in game five and not miss a game?
I mean, the closest one I saw was that Stefan story where, you know,
five days.
Right. Like, you know, and he scored 2 goals in his first game back. Like, played 22 minutes. I saw that and went, oh, my gosh, ridiculous.
But then the Rangers lose the Stanley Cup final and it doesn't quite, you know, if.
Well, they won that series.
They won that series. And if the Rangers go on to win the Stanley Cup championship, then Derek Stepan there is next to Mark Messier and Willis
saying.
Reed. And you have to win.
Right.
You have to win for it to be that the bloody sock moment. But I think it's on the table. Eric and Newton. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, if they do play Z, is he going to be all hopped up on pain meds? How's that going to work?
Good question.
You got to balance that one.
So what is it? You know,
you got to balance that one.
And some of those pain meds wear off. You know, the football players can only take it for a half. So they're on it for a half, and then it wears off. So you either play poorly in the first, and then you're good in the second, or you do it in the first, and then it wears off in the second. I don't know if, you know, that's Toradol, I think, or some of those injections that you only get it for a set amount of time. Is that what Char is going to be dealing with? Perhaps. What if he just takes some Percocet? Murray, can you play on Percocet?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
How about a lot of Advil?
Yeah, go to the guy that smokes the occasional weed as the guy that knows all about
the
drugs.
You're the drug doctor. You're your source on the ground.
I mean, that's a tough one, right?
call out to the medical community.
Well, and look, they got this down to a science, so I'm sure he's taken pain meds before, and they know roughly what works and what doesn't in terms of how much you give him. But this is more pain.
Can I say, I'm not taking any calls on your Percocet intake out there because I don't want to hear from you. All right? So I want to know how much Oxy and Percocet that you take.
I mean, that's a tricky one, though, because if you give him too much, all of a sudden he sees Tarasenko coming and goes, hey, woo, here you go, buddy, take the puck. Like, he's not even thinking straight. That's not good either.
We continue with more of your thoughts after this.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill, sponsored by Bud Light, Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Mass from the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals, the only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I would expect him to play. I mean, I know a jaw is a tough thing to have to work through. I played with a broken jaw in 1998, and, you know, I was in the first round. I wasn't 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup. My mentality was you don't play with your face. I don't have to shoot with my face. I don't have to skate with my face. All you got to do is find a way to breathe. And if I know Zdeno Chara the way I think I do, he's going to do everything he can to try to get this last cup under his belt. And his face can heal after his career is over.
Jeremy Roenick on this morning with the Midday Show. Great spot with Beadle and Zolak. You can listen to it on 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. You don't play with your face, Maz. All you have to do is find a way to breathe. His face can heal when his career is over.
Yeah, I mean, really. That's how they think, though, these guys.
That hockey mentality is, I mean, My God.
I mean, you know, again, the job is who they are. It's their identity. And I'm honestly, I'm not shocked by this. Because, you know, when we were discussing it the other day, when you really weigh it out, like if you sit down and you stop and you say, okay, what do we got here? I'm 42. I may not get another crack at the cup. Like, this is probably it. I got to give it a shot. I got to give it a shot. I don't know if it'll work or not, but let's give it a whirl and see how it goes.
So that's what it's looking like right here. As, again, Char skated this morning. Cassidy said he's a game-time decision. We'll know at 7 o'clock. Further reported that he has been cleared to play. His jaw is not wired shut. So, again, the breathing issue, all you have to do is find a way to breathe. Again, what a line. Speaking of lines, JR had another good one. Play JR2 there, Jimmy.
Pain goes away. Pride is forever. And hockey players don't care whether there's pain. At least some of them don't. Maybe a little bit more so in this generation, but Zdeno Chara is a different breed, and I don't think it's a pain aspect for him. You know, I think for him is to make sure that he can breathe, he can play right, and he doesn't bring his team down in his level of play, and that's where his decision is going to have to be made.
Okay, pain goes away, pride is forever. There you go. Put that on a T-shirt. I think the T-shirt should be his face can heal when his career is over. Like, my face will heal when my career is over.
We can have two T-shirts.
I don't mind that one. We're also finding out, and I found this interesting, you know, the whole thing with Char being on the bench the other day, it made no sense to me. And then I threw out there yesterday, Maz, just guessing, that the only thing that would make somewhat sense to me is if he was running from the concussion protocol. Because I've seen players do this. I saw Krejci do it once in a playoff year. I saw Jonathan Toews do it against you in 2013. If you don't want to go into the concussion protocol, you don't go into the tunnel. You don't let the concussion spotter come grab you and put you in the dark room. You say, no, I'm fine, and you stay out on the bench. Now, you don't play. You just sit there. And that's a way to sort of avoid the concussion protocol. And I said that yesterday, like, because the thing about the, you know, the inspirational leadership and the setting a tone, it sure didn't work if that's what they were going for. And I thought it was an awkward look to begin with. But if he was trying to stay out of the protocol, now that I've seen before. And I think both Jeremy Roenick and Bruce Cassidy sort of alluded to that today. And now that I look back at it, that makes the most sense to me. Not that, you know, inspiration, you know, because I don't think it provided any inspiration, frankly. But if it kept him out of the concussion protocol, well, now throw another thing that he's playing with. And that, you know, shows another sign of toughness. But this is something JR hit on as well. Number three, Jimmy.
Right when you get a head injury or a facial injury, the first thing you're going to think of is concussion. And not knowing exactly how you're going to feel, or you know how things are going to react right during game time to come back into a game. You know, he has had a couple days to you know, to kind of reset, see how his moods are, see how he feels. And I don't think it's because of his jaw why they didn't let him back. I believe that it was probably for concussion reasons, that maybe there could have been a concussion getting hit in the face that hard. So that those issues will be talked about at length, more so than the if there is a crack in his jaw.
Isn't that something? He says the reason he didn't come back was more the concussion than the jaw.
Absolutely. Like, you know, again, and when you said it yesterday, you first threw out that possibility. I thought, oh, good one. Like, that totally makes sense. You avoid the protocol by sitting on the bench, especially, you know, he was sitting there and hanging his head at times. He had to be in la-la land. At least on some
absolutely he was.
Yeah, had to be, right? Never mind the excruciating pain.
And this whole thing about him showing leadership and toughness by doing it, I mean, that's not how you do it in the league. I mean, really, I mean, you don't have to sit on the bench to show people that you're tough. I mean,
yeah.
that's been forged over seven, you know, his 20-year career or whatever.
Yeah, and you can sell that to the public, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
He wanted to be out there with his teammates, and so you drop that one and the public eats it up, and the reality is, they can't come out and say, guys, we had to keep him away from the concussion doctor.
I mean, that's what I said yesterday. I think that might be it. Jimmy, play Cassidy number five. So Cassidy's asked this morning something along these lines, and he may have given it away.
At what point did you find out that it might even be a possibility that Char could play, and what does it say about him that is a possibility?
Well, I mean, he was never ruled out. Even the other night in St. Louis, he was ruled out for that third period. I mean, we talked about that. After that, it was going to be day to day. I mean, the first thing you worry about is like a concussion, right? Because then you're into protocol. So we avoided that, or Z avoided that. So that was good news. And then it's a matter of, well, you know, what's next. So I guess yesterday we got a better idea, and then this morning, you know, he's here. Obviously, he's on the ice skating, so now it's real.
Now it's real. We avoided that. Z avoided that.
I mean, it's that word, right? It's the word avoid.
We avoided the concussion protocol.
Because if he says, you know, that wasn't an issue, then that says, well, he didn't have a concussion, so we're fine. But when he says we avoided it, the word avoid, it makes you feel like they did. They sidestepped it. They said, Z, don't go over and talk to that guy. You know, somebody locked that guy in the bathroom.
Well, no. He's getting some dental work done. Now he's heading out for the game in the third period. He's fine. You know, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. That's just totally guessing, like I was guessing yesterday. But I think, you know.
No, that feels like that's so, just some validity.
All I'm telling you is, and this is so not important. I'm sorry I keep going back to it. But I've seen guys duck the concussion protocol by sitting on the bench and not playing. I've never seen a guy try to be an emotional leader by being hurt and sitting on the bench and not playing. I've never seen that. I've seen the concussion thing. And so maybe that's what it is. But again, just add it onto the list. Add it onto the list of Zdeno Chara. All right, back to your phones, as promised. Here's Kathleen in Salem. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hey, yeah. So my thing is, it seems as though the first line isn't engaged. And I think if the first line's not engaged, the whole team goes that way. We're not matching the nastiness of St. Louis. I think they're a hard, heavy, big team, and it seems like we're more than willing to skate away from the scrums. Like, has any of the Bruins had a conversation with Oscar Sundquist for that hit on Grizzlick? So I just think we have to ramp up the sort of intensity and the nastiness.
Okay, Kathleen, thank you. Backus nailed Sundquist at one point in this game. It was Backus's best shot of the night. He throttled them. So was that an answer for it? I don't know. But you're not going to match their nastiness. They're nastier than you. They're bigger than you. They're more physical than you. You're not going to match it. You've got to skate around it.
Yeah, so you want to tell me you want to ramp up the intensity I'm in.
And I don't mean skate away from it. I mean you've got to use your speed against their brute strength.
Right. So, like, go back to the Toronto series when it was the opposite. Backus was brought in to bring in the element that the Leafs didn't want to play.
That's right.
So now you got to do the same to the Blues in the reverse. And so I do agree, though. Like she says, the first line wasn't engaged. I don't think it's the first line. I think it's Marchand. Even Pasternak, like if you say to me he's not engaged, I disagree with you. I think Pasternak's engaged. I think he just doesn't want to get hit. Marchand did not look engaged to me. And that is, you know, he's the one that makes that line go.
George in the car. What do you got for us, George?
Hey, so I don't know if you guys have touched on this part yet, but he's not eating. Char's not eating. So how do you think that will affect his fatigue or energy in the game?
That's not true. He is eating.
Is he?
Yep.
How do you know he's eating?
From what I understand.
Oh, well, Maz, why don't you tell us everything that you understand?
Well,
then?
So I think he ate today, but they liquefied his food, and he ate.
What else do you think?
I think that a professional athlete going into a world championship game is not going to go in on an empty stomach. So I'm not worried about that. You know, they'll make him a protein shake.
I'm saying if you believe this, what else do you believe? I want to know everything that you believe.
No, I believe that it's hard for him to eat and that all the stuff that goes along with the broken jaws
okay. There.
But they are putting his food in a blender and whipping it up, and he's sucking it through a straw.
Do you ever do, you know, with their, New England Fat Loss or any program you've been on, just a liquid protein diet, meaning a shake diet where you just have shakes?
No.
It's
the beauty of New England Fat Loss. It's real food. Okay. You get real results.
If anyone...
You can do it.
You're starving.
Yeah.
You're starving. I mean, maybe a week into it when your stomach's shrunk and you've conditioned yourself to just the shakes, you can do it. But when you first start, if you just say just for a day, just tomorrow, have protein shakes, I guarantee you, you're famished.
Yeah,
you're starving.
It just feels like a drink. Where's the meal?
Yeah, can I eat, please? That's not eating.
Okay, what if you liquefy food?
It's not eating, trust me.
No, I disagree with you. Because it's all about what's in it. It's not about the form. It's all about the protein and everything else.
Yeah, it's different.
Look at Chara. How much do you think he eats?
If you liquefied a poo-poo platter and then ate a poo-poo platter, there's a big difference,
right.
I guarantee.
Can I get a fried wonton? I don't want that thing blended.
Okay, but you don't want it blended because of the flavor or the way you eat it. I'm telling you. I don't know, man. I thought you got the same text.
I did. I got the same text.
Okay, I don't pay attention to my phone like you do. I'll check it out.
I thought this was a crock. I got the same text.
Okay.
Think it's a crock. I think it's legit.
Okay. So that's what we know. Liquid diet today for Zdeno Chara. Will that impact him? I guess we'll find out. Here's Murray's update.
I think he might have had fish.
Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
With Chara, is it his call or is it the doctor's call at this point?
Well, the doctor has to give him the green light, then it'll be his call. If the doctor doesn't, then it's he has no say in the matter.
Okay, according to the Lowell Sun, Sean Hutchin. He has been cleared to play by doctors. So it is in Zdeno Chara's court, and if that's the case, you have to think he will be out there tonight for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals at the Garden, which you will hear here on 98.5 The Sports Hub shortly after 8. Felger Maz coming to you from Canal Street in the Boston Sports Grill, the Fan Fest. We're brought to you by Bud Light today, and we're taking it right up until 7 o'clock, right up until the pregame show. I want to circle back to Tuukka Rask and the situation here. And really, the whole running thing with Tuukka Rask, the whole running Tuukka Rask debate, where, you know, the Tuukka Rask folks are, you know, how do you like him now? How do you like him now? All this. And I think the rubber has yet to really meet the road. And it meets the road right now. Right now, as I'm standing here right now. The Tuukka Rask folks like to tell you that he's doing everything that Tim Thomas did in 2011. They like to tell you that Tuukka Rask did everything Tim Thomas did in 2013. And in some respects, they're right. This year, they're right. So far, right now, Tuukka Rask has a... Tuukka Rask right now in the postseason is .938 save percentage and a .196 goals against. In 2011, Tim Thomas was .940 and .198. So again, just... those numbers. In 2011, Thomas was .940 save percentage and a .198 goals against. This year, Rask is .938 with a .196. Almost a statistical tie. And when you look at Rask in 2013, he had a .940 save percentage, same as Tim Thomas, and a .188 goals against. Better than Tim Thomas. So if you just look at the raw numbers, that's right. What's the difference?
Cup.
The cup, and really, the final three games of the final. The final three games against Vancouver. I've given you these numbers a couple times. I'll do it now. I'll do it again now. The final three games against Vancouver in 2011, Tim Thomas held the Canucks to 1-2 and then 0 goals. The only game he lost in the final three games was a 1-0 shutout by Bobby Lou in Vancouver. In that time, Maz, you were off by three. He saved 100 of 103 shots.
Okay.
He said in the final three games, Tim Thomas saved 100 of 103 shots for a .971 save percentage, and he shut out the Canucks on the road in Game 7 on 37 shots. That's why Tim Thomas is Tim Thomas. That's his legacy, is that he closed. He closed. Tuukka Rask, in his final three games against the Blackhawks in 2013, allowed 6, 2, and then 3 goals. He allowed 6 goals in Game 4, 2 goals in Game 5, then 3 goals back here in Game 6, all losses.
And the,
flurry in Game 6 was...
Right, the last two in Game 6 were a killer.
He saved 109 of 120 shots for a .908 save percentage. So in Tim Thomas's last three games in 2011, he had a save percentage of .971. The last three games of Rask's final, 2 years later, he had a save percentage of .908. And he lost all three. So here we are again.
Well, look, I mean, to me, it's all about closing it out.
Here we are again.
And so I think this is going to be, you know, I felt after Game 4 with the way they were getting battered around, one of the real things they were going to have to lean on here down the stretch was the goalie. That is the one thing I can look at still in this series with everything that has happened on the ice and say the Bruins still have the edge there. That shouldn't change.
Okay, so the Rask people get all sensitive in their backup when I do. I'm not blaming Rask for anything. He's been your best player. He's a Conn Smythe favorite. He's the big reason you're here. I'm not blaming him for anything. I'm not blaming him at all. he's been a value add. He's been a huge part of your success, the part of your success. I don't deny that. However, if you really want to compare him to Thomas, then he's Tuukka Rask has to pitch a shutout in one of these games or hold him to at least one goal. In that Vancouver final, and Vancouver being a much better offensive team than the St. Louis team. Now, Rask also, I'm sorry, Tim Thomas also a better defenseman in front of him.
Yep.
That was Chara, Seinenberg in their prime. But you factor all these things in, I'm just telling you. When Tim Thomas played the Vancouver Canucks in those seven games, five of them, he held them to one goal or fewer. He had two shutouts in that series and three one-goal games. Five of the seven were one goal or fewer. Tuukka Rask has yet to do this in the four games. He's allowed two goals at least every single night. Okay? So, Tuukka's due for a one, you know, hold him to one. Can you hold him to one?
I mean, they could use a great game out of Rask.
Can you hold him to one?
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. The only part I would disagree with you on is that if they win 3-2, you know.
Oh, yeah, I won't hold that against him.
Right? Like, you know, so it doesn't have to be 0-1. But you got to close it out.
In this series, it might be Mass.
Well, no. In this series, it might require that.
It might require that. That's what I'm saying.
Right. It might require it. But if they win 3-2, I'll take that.
Oh, no. I'm not going to sneeze at it, and I won't diminish it. I'm just telling you, you've had trouble scoring, too. You're getting schwacked 5-on-5. If Rask really, now it gets real.
Yeah.
All this stuff, is Rask the guy? Is he not the guy? Is he Tim Thomas? Is he not Tim Thomas? It's really, this has all been a prelim for this. This is it. This is when Tim Thomas shut him down and won a cup. This is when Rask did not quite get that done in that Chicago series. And I don't blame him for it either. He's not to blame. So I've never done that. But again, did he elevate and steal you games there at the last, at the very last? He didn't. Tim Thomas did. And now here we are again. And you're all sorts of banged up, and you're getting outplayed 5-on-5. Can you pitch a shutout in one of these games?
Yeah.
Hold them to one?
And the fact is that game three in this series was really, really the aberration. That was a 7-2 game. Everything else.
Been a 3-2 game.
Yeah, really, with two empty netters.
With an empty net, right.
Yeah. So they've all been 3-2 games, which is pretty much how he thought the series was going to go. And so he should be an advantage in these final three. And you know, if he steals you one, you should be able to win the series.
Okay, there's your goalie thought. Back to your phones and our long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Mass at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey guys, Jim Murray here. Let me tell you about
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kelvin Gutierrez, 1-for-2. He has one of the three hits. He's going to take a seat. That is strike three, Nanny 0-2. And he will do that in there for strike three. 0-2. He struck him out. He's done that twice this season. 9 pitches, all strikes in an inning. An immaculate inning once again for Chris Sale.
Do you realize you're doing that while it's happening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something, you know, you get the first guy and you throw the first strike to the next guy and you're like, okay, you know, you get it rolling. And, you know, it's fun, especially for the guys.
Okay, just a quick breather here on the Bruins and Zdeno Chara. Just hit on a few other things. The Red Sox went final this afternoon. They beat Kansas City 7-5, but that was from last night. And this is the setup for it. Maz in our email chain this morning said, do you give two poops about the immaculate inning or something like that? And I have to be totally honest, I had no idea what he was talking about.
So when Sale first did it too, I didn't either.
Last night I watched a little bit of the basketball and then went to sleep. So the Sox weren't on my radar, unfortunately. And not only were they on my radar, I didn't pay attention to it last year when he did. And I said to Maz, I'm going to look that up. I don't know what that is, but I'm happy to talk about it. So here we go.
Okay, so the immaculate inning is when a pitcher retires the side on 9 pitches, all strikes, and strikes them all out. So the point being is that...
9 pitches.
Nobody has to touch the ball but the pitcher and the catcher? and nine pitches, right? That's it. And all strikeouts. So, like, last night he did it again. It's the second time now he's done it in basically a month, I think it is, Murray.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Like, a month ago when you brought it up on the Baseball Reporters, you're like, Murray, what do you think of the immaculate inning? Huh? What?
So, you know what? And Eck was all over it in the last broadcast. So, I thought when I saw it this morning, when it happened the first time, I went, wow, that's kind of fun. You know, it's a little bit of a different thing, whatever. Then it happened again, and I started thinking about it, and I admit some of this was triggered by an email. Do you realize that Chris Sale's two immaculate innings are against the Baltimore Orioles and the Kansas City Royals?
Nope, I never considered that.
Who suck.
That I do know.
Those are the two worst teams in baseball. So if I were to quickly say to a Red Sox fan, name any one of the six guys he struck out, do you think a Red Sox fan could do it?
Maybe.
Like, if this were the Yankees in 1999 when Pedro struck out 17, yeah, Paul O'Neill, Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, I'll rattle them off, no problem.
Sure.
These are the six guys he has struck out in these two, quote-unquote, immaculate innings, okay? Hanser Alberto, Dwight Smith, whom I've heard of only because his dad played the big leagues 20 years ago.
Reggie.
Steve Wilkerson.
Was it Reggie Smith's kid?
No, it's Dwight Smith's kid.
Oh.
This is Dwight Smith.
Go ahead.
Okay, so again, Hanser Alberto, Dwight Smith, Steve Wilkerson.
Who works in IT.
Kelvin Gutierrez, Nicky Lopez, and Martin Maldonado.
I've heard of one of those guys.
Nicky, Ricky, Dickie, and Don, as far as I'm concerned. Nicky Lopez.
Maz, how do you feel about the immaculate inning?
So, again, I don't mind it because it's rare, but now that it's happened twice, these two shouldn't count. They're fake immaculate innings. No, I'm not kidding. They're fake.
The asterisk.
Hanser Alberto, Dwight Smith, Steve Wilkerson, Kelvin Gutierrez, Nicky Lopez, and Martin Maldonado. First of all, if you're Nick Lopez and you're calling yourself Nicky, you suck. Like, I just, adding the Y alone to me suggests that this guy sucks. That's really six stiffs. And you know what that is? That's a spring training game. That's a spring training lineup for both teams. So, look, it's cute, whatever, but the reality is he's done it against the two biggest bum teams in the game.
Okay, there's your Red Sox Minute. You can weigh in if you so choose. Here's Steve and Bill Ricca. Back to the Bees. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Rask has to make a difference tonight. You know, in game two, he had a chance to steal the game and didn't. He played pretty good. Same thing in game four. He had a chance to go up 3-1 and literally have the Stanley Cup right almost a guarantee and didn't even do it. On top of that, he had that goal up at 30 seconds into the game. So at home, too. The domino effect with the crowd and all that. I mean, Rask tonight has another chance again to go up 3-2, and this is his third time he can make a difference in this series.
This is it, Steve. This is where you become an all-timer. This is it. If he, and look, if he wins, he's an all-timer. But if he's the reason, if he pitches a shutout or holds you to one, and he does what Tim Thomas did in 2011, then this is his legacy, and this is who he is, the champion.
Well, so again, he brings up a good point, though, Steve, from Bill Ricca, which is Rask wasn't to blame in either one of those losses, but he could have stolen them.
Yeah, right.
Right. It would have required something unique, but there was an opportunity there to steal a game. And so I look at the two games the Bruins have lost and some of the goals they've given up. You know, they're shots from point blank right in front. It's not like they're not soft goals or they're on rebounds that guys are hammering home from in front. If the Bruins can take away that area, I'm not sure the Blues can score on Tuca.
Adam in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Hey, so the discussion's been about Z, but there's probably more doubt about Grizz seeing what's going on with the news, and that would mean we only have really 6D. So what is it, Camper? It's going to go in if Grizz is not there, and then you really don't have a 7D. So I don't know if this 7D thing is going to work out for you guys.
So I don't quite follow.
If Grizzly doesn't play, the 7th would have to be Camper.
Yes, it would have to be Camper.
Yeah.
So does that defeat the purpose if Steve Camper's out there too much? I mean, to me, if Char is playing, he's playing. He's playing. And the 7D is there in case he gets hurt again or Grizzly gets hurt again. And, you know, certainly if Chara. So that's why I'm activating that 7D, because I'm just, And also, I think Backes has brought you nothing, and I'm just sort of, you know, baking in some attrition here because you're losing a defenseman a night. Never mind two coming off of injury. So that's why they're there. But all things being equal, Maz, what are your pairings that you're starting the game with and going with 5-on-5?
I go right back to the regular pairings.
Me too.
I mean, I go Chara, McAvoy, Krug, Carlo, and then the last one is Grzelcyk and Clifton.
Yep, me too.
I go right there. And then John Moore's 17.
Is standing there, yep.
Yeah, because look, in theory, the two that are already banged up are left shots, right? So Moore is your spare D. And that's, I go right back to that. That's where I start, and then you have to adjust, you adjust.
I've heard from a source that it's going to be McAvoy and Moore, the starting D with the Bergeron line.
You've heard that from a source.
Yeah. You're
sourcing today, fellas. Impressive. Zdeno Chara had salmon and pasta through a straw.
Yeah.
I don't know how you know that, but you apparently know that. Salmon and pasta.
Salmon.
And the D pairing is Moore and McAvoy.
McAvoy, Moore, starting D with the Bergeron line from someone inside the building.
And where's Chara?
Well,
isn't the whole benefit of having him out there for those introductions and have him standing there on the blue line? For the
leads me to believe at least that he's just going to be on special teams tonight, basically.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that.
I start him. I mean, if you want the full emotional impact, which is, again, is probably overrated to begin with because it's going to wear off as the game goes on, and if you fall behind, it's like nothing. It's gone. So, the whole emotional thing is it's there, but it's, I think we overrate it a little bit. But I still want to take advantage of whatever it brings me, and that means he's there in the starting lineup.
I mean, is there a reason to not do it? In other words, like, if the Blues see him out there right out of the gate, do they have a little jump in their step and say, you know, dump the puck right in the corner and smack him?
I don't know. I mean, I think they should be prepared for that either way. I think they should be prepared for that. They're going to do that.
Maybe.
Matt and Malden, quickly.
Hey, I just wanted to say the people that are asking whether it's better to have someone in Providence at 100% versus Chara at 60% is asking the wrong question. The Bruins aren't playing for a good story. They're playing for a cup, and they're not going to put Chara on the ice just to dink around and take up space. If he's going to play, he's ready to play, and I think he's going to be 100 or play off 100% with a broken jaw. But they're not going to put him in just for a story.
Okay, well, let's hope not.
No, they wouldn't do that. No, he's got to be functional. He's got to be functional.
Otherwise, you risk being Bill Buckner.
Yeah, now look, I don't know if you're getting 100% out of anybody at this stage, but he's got to be reasonably close to what he normally is.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.